As we heard on the program yesterday, the Chinese-owned telco giant, Huawei, has appealed to Canberra not to block it from supplying equipment for Australia's next-generation mobile services. It comes amid growing concerns by some federal, local politicians, as well as US intelligence officials, that the telco poses a security risk to us here in Australia. The chair of Huawei Australia, John Lord, yesterday rejected claims that the company was government-owned or had material links to the Chinese Communist Party.
We as Huawei don't get involved in these actual political debates. As you can imagine, we're in 170 countries. We can't afford to play politics, and we don't at all. For us, though, we believe that companies like Huawei are privately owned, not owned by any committee or any government, and we should be looked at and put into a competitive tendering.
Huawei Australia Chair John Lord speaking on RN Breakfast yesterday. The company already has a big footprint in Europe, especially in the UK, where it's provided backbone technology for the country's mobile phone network. But it's been banned from bidding for government contracts in the US over concerns that its telecommunication equipment could be used for spying by Beijing. Philippe Lacour is a longtime China business expert and a former advisor to the French government. He's now a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School Center on Business and Government. He joins me now from Washington. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
From what you know about Huawei's operations around the world, should Australia be concerned that it's seeking to play a role here in the rollout of the 5G mobile network?
Well, indeed it should. Of course, you have this presence in 170 countries. And indeed, I hear what Mr. Lord says about being a private company and operating in all these countries. But, you know, there've been evidences of links of this company, Huawei, with the Chinese government, at least not capitalistically, but, they have strong connections. And the fact that China, that Huawei is now the number one telecom infrastructure builder and owner in China means that it has a lot of political connections. And as far as the rest of the world is concerned, it is now trying to develop its device business, but it has provided a number of utilities and infrastructures to governments. The market in Europe in particular, since you referred to Europe, is now at least half of the market is owned by Huawei, and some countries have been sort of easier than others, certainly the UK and somewhat Germany. But there is some concern about, first, the possible connections between Huawei and the Communist Party and the Chinese state. That's one thing. And secondly, there's been this long-term issue of state aid, which has helped Huawei to develop its business in Europe in what's been seen as unfair competition from the European Commission in particular, which tried to take some action a few years ago.
Can we just talk, though, about the accusations made regularly by US intelligence and some US politicians that this company helps the Chinese government conduct espionage activities? Is there any actual evidence that we know of publicly that supports that?
Well, there's no, it's not in the open space, but there is, the founder of the company was a senior colonel in the PLA, and the current chair is also a former military engineer. They have connections with military regions across China, and indeed with Chinese embassies around the world. Now, you might say that any company has connections with embassies, but as it happened, China is not like a country like Australia or the UK or the US. It does have, you know, a certain set of, principles that are not necessarily the same values as we have in the West. As far as the question you ask, there's this issue of backdoors. I mean, I'm not a technical expert myself, a telecom expert, but there is a possibility when you build infrastructures for a civilian operation to use backdoors in order to access certain data. And I think that's what's of high concern to people here in the U.S. And increasingly, I would say, in Europe. Now, obviously, you know, they have been developing a number of research facilities on 5G, and I think that's the issue in Australia. And in fact, very few people have invested in this domain, quite sadly, which means that the number of competitors may not be, a lot. Having said that, it doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention to what this company is and to the sort of lack of transparency that's been characterizing its rise over the past 10 years in these 170 countries. I mean, you could name any region in the world. Huawei is actually quite involved, from Africa to Latin America.
What was interesting when we spoke to John Lord from Huawei was that he indicated that the company obviously intends to operate within the law in whichever countries it's operating in. But there are these new Chinese national intelligence laws introduced last year, which suggest that the national intelligence agencies can call on any individual or organization to ask them to cooperate with espionage activities. How is it possible for this company to be compliant with Chinese laws and compliant with laws in the countries where they're operating in circumstances where they might contradict? And it's pretty obvious in that case where they might contradict.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, you see what's happening in China now with the current regime, which has become more authoritarian, than the previous one over the past, 30 years. You now have a regime which has been helping the Chinese, which has been dealing with the Chinese diaspora around the world, and which certainly tried to use different networks to get information on the rest of the diaspora, and also on sometimes, as you referred, intelligence issues. So, I mean, there have been cases of Chinese experts or academics involved in such espionage around the world. Now, as far as a company like Huawei is concerned, of course, they would have to be very cautious about doing that. But again, the laws that you refer to and the connections with the state, so with the government, I mean, we're talking about a very sensitive field, which is about, accessing data. And in China, the views about data is quite different from the views in the West again. I mean, you can basically access, big data in China when you are any senior government official, which is not the case in Australia or in the rest of the Western world. For that reason, I would be incredibly cautious.
You pointed out that the attitude in Europe towards this company has been different. We're interested in the idea that in the UK there's something called the Cell. It's part of Huawei in Oxfordshire. It's a cybersecurity centre that exists to ensure its technology can't be compromised for nefarious purposes. It seems to be effectively oversight by the spy agency GCHQ. Can you explain whether that is what makes a country like Britain more comfortable with Huawei's involvement in the network?
Well, I don't think people are that comfortable, to be honest. Originally, it was announced about, I think, 10 years ago, or perhaps 8 or 9 years ago. And you're right, it is the CGHQ, which is a cabinet-level agency, in Downing Street. They are supervising Huawei materials coming into the UK and operating infrastructures for BT or for Vodafone, for example. But it doesn't mean everything has to go through that cell, that mechanism. We live in the world of cloud computing and big data. I don't believe having this lab, this kind of a lab really, that means that the whole of the UK is protected from outside operators. And again, there's this issue of values and conflicts of interest, which are are essential to the UK. So there's been actually quite a bit of discussion within the House of Commons, and I was actually referring to it in my book that came out 2 years ago, China's Offensive in Europe. And the Select Committee, the House of Commons Select Committee on the national security issues was quite dubious about the efficiency of the mechanism you described.
Philippe Lecourt, we will have to leave it there. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Philippe Lecourt, Senior Fellow with the Harvard Kennedy School Center on Business and Government.